Now, the show that's all hockey. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show with Ryan Johnston, Judd Surratt, and Bob Beers.
Presented by Shaws and Star Market. Download the Shaws app or Star Market app and save today. Also brought to you by Rodenheiser Home Services, Sports Etc., Devlin Solar, and Mass General Brigham.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And welcome in to another edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. A good Saturday morning to you, wherever you are, if you even know where you are at this point. It is piling up quickly outside, but we are still here to do 2 hours of Bruins and hockey talk with you, as we are each and every Saturday morning. You can join us at 617-779-0985. Ryan Johnston, not in the Town Fair Tire Studios. First time I have done it from my home setup here for the Sports Hub. Thankfully, our producer, Tucker Silva, is a man's man who fought the elements to get into the studio to man the ship for us this morning. I am joined via the wonders of technology by Billy Jaffe as well this morning. What's going on, Billy?
Enjoying a fresh brewed cup of coffee, sitting here looking outside the office window. It's coming down. It's coming down hard, but it's not piling up here as much. I think it's the wind where I am. I mean, don't get me wrong. We've got stuff here. But, plows were out at about 5 a.m. around where I am, and all of a sudden that short night sleep, or what it was already going to be a shorter night sleep, became even shorter because I'm a pretty light sleeper when I start hearing that.
Yeah, I'm glad the normally I would have been upset. The plows aren't, you know, worn out until like 7 o'clock this morning, but it allows me to sleep in a little bit because the dog hates the plow. So if the plows come at 2 a.m., the dog's up at 2 a.m. and running around. So I went out and cleared a few inches of snow about an hour ago before I was done clearing it. There was it felt like there was a few inches of snow back on the ground again. It's coming down really hard.
Yeah. Do we have an updated forecast? Do we have access to that? Like one of those, you know, weatherman breaking things? Do we have any of that? I'm just curious. I know we're getting something, but I don't know. Are we still getting 24 inches in Greater Boston?
I'm thinking like my area there, we're kind of right on the edge of 18 to there's the 12 to 18 range, and then there's the 18 to 24, and I'm kind of right in the middle of that. So I'm thinking 18 is going to be about right for me. Where you are, I could be 4 or 5 feet, you know, by the time it's done.
You know, it's funny. I kept saying, I was saying to myself and to my wife, I'm like, yeah, you know, if we only get 12 inches, it's not that bad. And then meanwhile, you know how much a pain in the ass 12 inches of snow is regardless. You know,
I tell you what, though, it is. They were right. It is a nice, easy, fluffy snow. There's no heavy lifting here. So normally I'll ask you this too. Are you a wait until it's done and do it all in one shot guy? Or are you a, we'll do it incrementally, get out there while it's still snowing and start moving? No,
incrementally for a few reasons. One, I've got a nice snowblower. It's not huge. It's decent size. It does a great job, but anything over, I'm going to say 8 to 10 inches, especially if it's heavier. And I know this one's lighter.
Yeah.
It starts getting to be a little bit much, but it's a great day. You know, 10 inches is probably the max, but you know what I mean? Like if you wait, it's too heavy and it's a mess. And I live on a main street where the one good news is that I get plowed regularly in front all the time. And our sidewalks get plowed regularly too. However, the bad part to that, the flip side, is the buildup in front of my driveway can become mountainous.
Right.
And therefore, I'd like to regularly break that down so I can just, you know, don't have to break my back doing it. I do a combo of you know, a lot of the snow blowing and then a little bit of hand shoveling. But no, I also like being outside in it. I do. I like getting outside. I have the dog run around. We have a golden and Super Cooper loves the snow. Loves it with a passion. And so let him run around in the back. I'll shovel or snow blow in the front.
Yeah. So if you, well, if you, you know, got a fancy snowblower like Billy Jaffe, you know,
very, very fancy.
What you want to do.
Very fancy.
You know, those of us who are, you know, still putting in the muscle behind it. This is a pretty easy one. There's even though it's going to pile up, like I'm telling you, I went out, it took me, I don't have a real big driveway, but it took me minutes just plowing it off with the shovel. It's a pretty easy move. So
let's not forget
times today.
I'm still on the IR. I got an excuse. I'm still on the IR too. Yeah. The shoulder.
You know what? I felt a little tug in my calf. I think I might have lower body injury day to day. I don't know. Maybe.
All right. Is that how you want to get into it?
Well, let's talk about it. So we are here after, you know, Bruins don't play that often on Friday nights. But when they do, they do it in a game that lasts until almost midnight. So we all stayed up last night to watch the Bruins and the Arizona Coyotes in what was not the most thrilling game in the world. Linus Ullmark played really well, especially down the stretch. They needed him to come up with some huge saves in the third period of that game. But they come away with a win. But the bigger news last night was what was going on with the goalies all up and down the organization. I'll tell you how this, you know, kind of played out from my vantage point is, first, I saw a report from Mark Diver in Providence that Jeremy Swayman had been scratched from his start. It's like, okay, well, that sends up red flags immediately. Either something's wrong with Swayman or the organization thinks that they're going to need him sooner rather than later. Then came the announcement from the Boston Bruins that Troy Groznik was being activated from the taxi squad and was going to back up Ullmark. And if you go back even before that, I think there was some questions from some folks prior to yesterday about, you know, Bruce Cassidy has mostly been just alternating Ullmark Rask. And yeah, Tuukka hasn't played his best in his last couple appearances, but it was still odd to, I think, a lot of people that Rask wasn't going to get the start against Arizona yesterday. Mm-hmm. If there's ever a team that you want to start a struggling goalie against, that's one of them. So it turns out Tuukka scratched last night, did not dress, minor, the team says, lower body injury. In fact, Bruce Cassidy said after the game last night, he has not even been ruled out for tomorrow's game in Dallas. We'll see how that goes.
Right.
But you know that the Bruins fans will take this very much in stride, Billy, that, you know, Tuukka Rask hasn't been back very long, and already he's missing appearances. What should we think of this? Is this just a little bump in the road from a guy who was rusty and maybe his body wasn't quite ready to go every single day? I mean, what should we think of this?
What do you think? You think, okay, you know, the one hand, the logic says, you know, he hasn't had a lot of hockey. He is coming back from the surgery. The hip feels great. We don't know if this is hip or this could be another part of the old lower body that's compensating for the hip. And it could also be a legitimate, but it's another little ding that you get through the course of a hockey season. Now, Tuukka hasn't played a lot. We know that. My guess is they have told him to be incredibly cautious with this coming back. And if there's anything, a whisper of anything, to let them know. And they, by the way, they tell that to almost every player. After every game, RJ, just, you know, there's basically a walk around or a discussion. Good, 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 good. You good, you good. I mean, that's just it's how it is. And if Tuukka felt a little something, well, which he did, then stay off for a day. Now, I couldn't agree more with Butch about this is the antithesis of what Tuukka needs right now. He needs reps. He needs to play. He needs games. He needs game situation, all that. So, you know, they have practice today scheduled in Arizona. They made sure, and rightfully so, with their travel plans to spend extra time in Arizona. Why would you jump on a plane when you don't need to? But also just the factor of, you know, the warm weather, give the guys a little settle. It's a quick trip. You go from altitude, you go a little bit altitude, not much in Arizona. You settle in, let the guys get comfortable there. Maybe Tuukka, that's all he needed was an extra day. We're going to find out after practice today. But if there's anything at all, yeah, then you're going to have to put him into an area. You know, if he, you know, they both thought me, or I shouldn't say they both, Butch relayed to the media that really it was just going to be a nothing thing, right? And then they thought he'd rebound quickly, and he right. didn't. So if this is anything more than that, then Swayman comes up. The question I have, and I don't have an answer to this, we know Swayman was pulled. I mean, when did he get the late scratch notification? I mean, it was late to the public, but did he know about it midday so he could jump on a flight, say, and head to Arizona or get on a flight and head to Dallas? Is he like a pitcher? Did he go ahead to the next city, so to speak, you know, and doing that? Is he waiting? Or is it just, you know what, we're pulling you from the start because we can't take the chance of you getting hurt, because if you need to get called up, we're going to wait. I think everybody knew that today in New England would be, or in Boston area, would be a travel issue. And therefore, maybe it's a Sunday morning thing if he's heading to Dallas. Who knows?
Yeah, either that, or they you know, if they think they might need him on Sunday, they should have gotten him on a plane yesterday.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right? Did they? Yeah. Well, did they do that? Did they send him to AZ? There was no report of him there, but that would have been probably because he would get very, very late. Or did they send him ahead to Dallas, knowing that they already had Troy Grosnick? Don't know. You know, maybe we get a little word this morning. You know, reports like that come out. What is it? Midday, noon, I think. Noon local time in Arizona that they're practicing. Mm. So I don't have I'll get my schedule to confirm that. But anyways, listen, the other thing is if it's longer, when I mean longer, it's more than a few days, maybe you can use that as a way to say, look, Tuke, you need to go to the conditioning stint.
I was going to ask you about that. I was going to ask you about that because somebody asked me that on Twitter last night. Is it possible that this could be an excuse to try to get him to Providence to do conditioning? Because you'd have to, you know, you'd have to have some sort of an injury that you're working your way back from before they let you do that without waivers coming into play and all that. So,
right.
You know, is it possible that they might just say, you know, this is a good chance to maybe hit the pause button. Maybe we did this a little bit too quickly for everybody's liking and it's not working out the way we had hoped.
The ins and outs of the CBA, I'll try and ask somebody during the break, because I don't know if it has to be a more longer term injury for them to be able to say that, hey, you can bypass the, you can go do the conditioning stint. I think it's a max 2 week conditioning stint if it's agreed upon to the American League. But it could, I mean, if it's longer than just the next day or two, maybe that's something that happens, and I understand that that's the focus here. And I understand that's a hot topic for fans, but really the topic should be the play of Linus Ullmark. It is.
And we're going to get to him. But one more question about the Rask situation for you. Mm-hmm. I was surprised that, you know, what happened. He was, you know, he had gone to Providence. He had practiced with the team and then their games got canceled and he wasn't able to get any game action. I was really surprised that it felt like the Bruins kind of rushed him back without having seen him in a game. Obviously, they were getting a chance to see him in practice, not only in Providence, but he had been practicing with the Bruins even before he signed. Mm-hmm. Do you think that they moved too fast? Do you think that they should have, you know, look, circumstances were what they were. It was going to cost him an extra week or so. But, you know, bringing him back in without having a real test of him first was, you know, that's an easy second guess right now, the way you've seen him play.
It is. You're right. It is an easier second guess. There's no question. Do I think they rushed it? Maybe. Yeah, maybe a little bit. And was there, you know, it didn't seem that he had any issue with going to Providence. Maybe it was. Yeah. You know what? Okay. At this time, I'm ready to go. The road trip the Bruins were on, et cetera, made it real easy for him. Remember originally to be in Prov and everything, structurally or schedule-wise, just worked out copacetically. It's just really laid out. And maybe after that, it was more like, well, no, you know what? I've been practicing down there. I've been taking a lot of shots. I've been doing everything. I feel great. Let's get going. I don't think it was anything about, you know, they could have put him down there for, again, a little bit of time, of an extended time, or even just a weekend, right? They could have done it. So I'm curious, you know, I'd be curious to if there was a reason behind that. Yeah, I would be. Maybe they did rush it a little bit, but the ins and outs, I don't think it had anything to do contractually. You know what I mean, RJ?
Right.
I mean, You know, I know every dollar counts on the salary cap, but for what he signed for, it would be minimal, relatively speaking.
Yeah, I mean, it's not much different than what you had Swayman on the cap for, right?
Well, right. I mean, So yes, in fact, you know, Sway would actually be a little bit higher. Yeah. You know, give it that. But it's a thing that could be asked, a question that can be asked to get if there was any reason, business reason behind it that they did it. But now, again, let's see. From a Bruins fan perspective, and we all know, very polarizing sports figure. We know that. But what you hope is that it is so short term that it becomes the old blip. You don't want it to be anything longer to where it becomes a story. Put it that way.
And you also need him to play better. I mean, at the end of it, you know, whether this is, you know, keeps him out a couple of days, keeps him out a week, keeps him out whatever, like you need him to be better than he's been. And that's the much bigger topic when it comes to what we've seen out of him so far. All right, we're just getting started here on this week's edition of the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. We will get to calls coming up next, 617-779-0985. Bob Beers is going to join us coming up at 10 a.m. this morning, and Judd Surratt will check in at 10:35 as well, and we'll find out from them how the weather has been in Arizona this week. We'll get to all of that coming up. Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on a blizzardy Saturday morning, 98.5 The Sports Up.
Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show that's all hockey. The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
5 seconds remaining. McAvoy trying to keep the puck along the wall. In a stick battle in the slot, it dribbles to the net, and Omar kicks it out of there on the offering from Kraus, and Omar celebrates. What a performance in net by Linus Omar. The Boston Bruins have now won 17 straight games against the Arizona Coyotes, and this was a tough one. But the first half comes to a close. The Bruins victorious 2-1 in regulation, and they'll close the first 41 games with a record of 25-13-3. A hard-earned 2 points tonight.
Back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub, Ryan Johnston and Billy Jaffe with you until 11 o'clock this morning. 617-779-0985 is the number for you to join us. Billy has been working his moles to find out the Bruins goaltender situation as of this morning. We know that. So Jeremy Swayman went to Texas.
I don't know. I'm told that there's media people that are a lot more tight than I am, but they think that Swayman headed out. I mean, look, guys get called up all the time, right? I mean, this is the way it is, and it's a frantic. You were in the A forever. Remember how guys get.
We had a goalie one time. We were in Portland, Maine.
Yeah.
We had a game like on a Saturday night or a Sunday evening, and our team was playing in Anaheim, and they called up the morning of the game and said, we need him for tonight. So we had to try and figure out how to get him. I think it was a 3-flight trip. It's not easy to get from Portland to Anaheim very quickly. So he managed. Yeah. I think he made it about a half hour before face-off. Yeah.
They walk. You know, you have pregame meal on the flight, or like you come in, we're running in. You know, And you just throw on your gear like you're a 10-year-old kid. This is a team services director nightmare, or not a nightmare. It's just a challenge. Listen, the beautiful thing that that the Bruins have with having Providence so close is that guys can come up easily when they're home. Also, the other thing is this: on the road, for the most part, now you timing is everything, but between Providence, Hartford, where the P Bruins were going, you know, or Boston, if you need a call up, you've got airport options. That's the thing. Right. You know, it's not always easy, but you know, all you got to do is dig around and look at flight schedules and say, could he get here? Could he get there? Type of thing. I'm going to guess that Dallas would be an easier place for him to get to. I mean, we're having fun with this a little bit, but my guess is Sway is on his way, whether it was last night. That's my guess, because either you head to Dallas and you get him in, if you can get him all the way to Arizona, longer flight, but if you can get him there, you have him. And it's a 1 o'clock local practice for the Bruins today that I looked at, one mountain time. Isn't this the time of year? So, right, this is the time of year where Arizona.
I know, it's always confusing because Arizona doesn't change their clocks. So half the time they're on mountain time and half the time they're on Pacific time, right?
Yeah, yeah. So anyways, that's my guess, is that, you know, they were able to find it's my guess. Like, there's enough. I even looked at a few flights here. You could probably find a way to get to either city.
All right, let's get to some of your calls here this morning as we break down the week with the Bruins. We've got a lot of other topics. Go ahead.
Real quick. This is not pie in the sky. Everything is great, because we understand, you know, we got a great game about Colorado to talk about, but the numbers are pretty damn good, RJ. 11-3-1 since the reset. We'll call it the COVID reset. 11-3-1. Not bad, okay? You've Linus Ullmark, 8-0-1 in the month of January. Overall, 15-5-1. I know it isn't always pretty, but, you know, it's funny. We argue, not you and me, but the people do. They say, well, it's not good. It's not this. And then you say, well, 15-5-1, if we told you that, or you knew that in October, that that's where Linus Ullmark would be, would you take that? Would you? I don't know. Maybe some fans out there wouldn't. I'm just saying it's not bad. And, you know, I always go back to what Grant Fear and the other goalies used to say. My job is to stop enough pucks that my team can win by one. You know, I mean, that's the gig. So there's still issues. We know that. I know that they still have to get bigger, in my opinion. They have to get an added element of jam, in my opinion. Have to be effective. But overall, they've at least established themselves now as a playoff team. And I think if they can make some moves, at least give themselves a legit chance now to be better. But remember, early in the season, we're like, what are they going to be? At least my take.
You're also, I mean, last night you hit the halfway point of the season, right? Which, I mean, we're almost at the end of January. Yep. You know, been scheduled, you know, that little schedule shift kind of has a lot of us feeling like we should be further along in the season. But last night was game 41. So you're halfway through the season.
Yep.
As you said, the month of January has been phenomenal for this team. Wins and losses. They've put themselves in a position where they're fairly comfortably into a playoff spot. They're, you know, trying to catch Toronto. They're only 2 points back of the Leafs, although the Leafs have a couple of games in hand. But you're starting to make some noise there. There is a lot to be excited about with this team. The way that they have responded since that break at the holidays and since the line changes, things have looked a lot different with this team, and that's good. I do want to grab a couple of calls.
Yeah, let's go. All right.
So 617-779-0985. We've got Maria in Watertown up on line one. Tucker, good morning, Maria.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I hope you're all safe and tucked away in a nice warm place with maybe a hot toddy in front of you to ride out the storm.
that'll start at 11.
Okay, good for you, RJ. Just quickly on the goalie situation, you know, I hope this works out for Don Sweeney, because if it doesn't, this is going to leave a serious mark and question his ability, I think, to make these types of decisions on behalf of the Boston Bruins. I believe that I understand why he went out and signed Linus Ullmark, and right now it looks to me, thank goodness that he did, But it seems to me they were a little bit hasty in trying to get Tuukka back in, back into the net. And then on the issue, Billy, you mentioned it on your soon-to-be award-winning podcast, Morning Brew, with Andrew Raycroft. Music to my ears when you said the Bruins need to get bigger. I've been wanting that for at least the last three or four seasons. My question to you gentlemen is, who could they potentially target to give them that extra snarl and nastiness, and what would they potentially need to give up to do that?
Maria, I need Maria. Maria, that's a heavy question without a breakfast sandwich from you. Honest to God, you know what I mean? That is,
you're going to have to deliver it by dog sled today. Yeah. I
mean, well, that's doing? Okay. We'll have some moose meat or elk sandwich. Listen, been saying it for a while. I appreciate you listening as well, not just to this show, but to Morning Brew. We have a lot of fun on that. And I'm using RJ, the wonderful Morning
Brew. Got your coaster?
I got the coaster going. Yes, it's gorgeous. Listen, who could they target? I mean, I know we should probably, we could do a show. Now, let's just have, remember this. Trade deadline is March 20th, 21st, that Monday. It's delayed, you know, later this year because of the schedule being late. The name that a lot of times jumps out is the guy, Ben Chiarot, a defenseman from the Montreal Canadiens. Now, is he mean and nasty? No, but he's big and strong and has good playoff experience. I don't think... that I really don't. I mean, maybe I'm being naive here, but I don't think that the Bruins would have an issue now trading with Montreal and vice versa, given that Montreal has to get themselves righted. They also have Kent Hughes there now, a guy who lived in the Boston area for, like, was it 25 years, who's now their new GM. Jeff Gorton, obviously former executive with the Bruins. He had made some deals as part of the Ranger management with the Bruins and Don Sweeney before. I mean, it's going to be about the best deal, though, for Montreal. There's so many other places to look, though, for some size. I don't have names for you right now, Maria, as much as I'm sure you'd like that. And by the way, size, it's easy to sit here and say there's going to be other teams. I mean, can you look to Philadelphia? Are you interested in Rasmus Ristolainen? What a gong show that's going on there in Philadelphia. I'm trying to think of other teams that are out of it on the precipice. You know, I know the name JT Miller's been thrown around. I would love JT Miller on this team from Vancouver. Are they, though, pushing for a playoff? They are. I mean, they're still doing well enough under Bruce Boudreau. In the last 10, they've kind of come back to 500, but they're still, because the West is wild, not in such a great way, RJ, whereas the East is pretty much settled in playoff teams, the West is wide open. And they're going to push for a playoff spot. But could you work out a deal for JT Miller? Holy smokes, would that be great. Seattle's got some guys there that maybe there's a kid, Carson Soucy, I'm a fan of, a big left defenseman there. Alexiak signed a multi-year deal. I don't think that they would move him, and I don't have the contract status in front of me. Arizona, do they have much on the back? And I know people are infatuated with Jacob Chychrun, and I like Jacob Chychrun, but I wouldn't call him he's big, but is he a robust physical defender?
Doesn't necessarily bring the snarl that she's talking about, right?
Right. And so there's some teams, but you could look, I mean, the Labushkin kid, I was watching him a bit. He's big and it brings it a little bit. I'm curious a few teams, and maybe I'll do a deep dive into them more. Maybe that's something Razor and I can do with the podcast format. But, you know, what happens in Winnipeg? They thought that they would be into a spot where they'd be really, you know, good. Now, their defense isn't the most stout, but they've got some players there that you could look at, you know. But Winnipeg was a team. And this Kevin Cheveldayoff, a guy you had on a couple of, was it two weeks ago, I guess. Does he make some moves? So a lot of places that they can look, but you know, the other team is Columbus to me. What are they going to continue to do in Columbus? I could see them making some more moves there.
All right, let's go to line two. Ryan in Providence up next here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Good morning, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Sorry about that. I really enjoy the show. Hope you guys are staying safe during this. I wanted to touch base. I know it's been a concern kind of going to the physical aspect, but the lack of response by the Bruins. I know yesterday with Antoine Roussel kind of jumping McAvoy a little bit. You know, if you know Antoine Roussel, he's agitator. That's his type of game, and McAvoy is superstar. I feel like there was no response, and I feel like this is something that's kind of been going on with the team this whole year. With a, I'm not saying that they need to be the 2011 Bruins, but there isn't that snarl, and I think also those comments coming out of the Avalanche game with Taylor Hall not stepping up, even though the hit wasn't really dirty, wasn't really his fault, I still think there needs to be that type of response. I just want to hear what you guys think, because I think this is a trend throughout the year. Hope you guys have a great day.
Appreciate the call, Ryan. We're going to get to his points and questions coming up, because I want to talk about that Taylor Hall situation as well, as McAvoy getting, boy, he took a couple of pretty good shots.
Yeah, that was, I just want to address that real quick. Oh, no,
yeah,
you don't want
to. We got a break. So hang on. We'll get to it as soon as we come back. It's Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe. You can join us 617-779-0985 here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
The Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show on the flagship station of the Boston Bruins. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Listening to the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show, Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, back here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. Ryan Johnston, Billy Jaffe. Here with you on a Saturday morning until 11 o'clock. Again, Bob Beers will join us coming up at 10. Judd Surratt at 10:35 as well. They are, you know, I think we can find some solace, Billy, in the fact that they are missing the blizzard. They're yep. Enjoying the nice weather in Arizona, and then they're headed on to Dallas. But it should be fun when they come back and there's 2 feet of snow on top of the cars when they arrive. That's always a good time.
I believe, didn't they also? No, they stayed here. They were here just long. I remember Judd saying that he shoveled before he left last time that there was a storm. Didn't we have a storm a few weeks ago too, or more? I guess we had the first snowfall, and he was here long enough to shovel, I think. So otherwise, I think his wife may have said, "Get back."
All right, let's talk a little bit about some of the questions we got just before the break here. Let's address the situation with McAvoy last night.
Yeah,
with Roussel, as the caller said, you know, he was upset. The caller was that there wasn't some sort of a response. What did you make of that situation? I mean, McAvoy,
did you catch me in post game or no? Did you tune me off?
I saw a little bit of it, but I'm not sure.
I was pissed.
Oh
my God! With regard to how is that a double minor? Roussel threw 7 punches.
Bare-fisted, yes.
Bare-knuckled with his gloves off. Okay, I understand game management as an official. I get it. That's not game management. You've lost the credibility in my you, because now if another guy throws his gloves off and throws 7 punches at another guy who doesn't really respond until the end, you can't call that a fight, at least if you're going to be consistent. So Roussel and McAvoy, I don't know if something happened earlier in the game. There was a little bit of jostling and more than that. Some sticks got up a bit. Roussel went right after McAvoy on the faceoff. And then McAvoy gave it back a little bit. And then it was more Roussel chasing him. The next thing you know, Roussel is literally throwing heavies or trying to at Charlie. It looked like he connected on one or two.
Yeah.
And Charlie, okay, it should have been I've seen this before too, a 5-minute major for fighting. And if you really needed to call something on Charlie, you call a minor for roughing. It should have been a 3-minute power play for the Bruins. It should have been. And I don't get it. I don't get what they were doing there. Now, Roussel only played one shift after that, RJ. He only was on the ice at the 8:19 mark in the third period after that. And it's a one-goal game. Mm-hmm. And could you have found a way to engage? Quite honestly, I don't even remember. Remember, he sat in the box for at least 4 minutes, maybe a little more when he comes out. I don't even remember that next shift of his.
Yeah, they're trying, and they're down a goal. So, you know, he's not exactly the kind of player that they're going to have on the ice a lot in the third period when they're trying to tie the game.
And are you going to try and run around to fight Dominic Roussel? As much as I would love to see somebody grab him. And yes, I would love that response, especially because it was against one of the Bruins' top players. That has to be put that file, not in the back of the mind, but front of mind for the next time these two teams play at TD Garden. And that's a first period, we're going type of scenario with somebody from the team. It has to be. I in my eyes, that's where it is. That's a file it away. You get the victory. And now that's a first period fight next time these two teams play.
Yeah. I mean, look, you got to pick your spots. And McAvoy, you know, not engaging in that, he gets the team a power play out of it, right? I mean, he as you said, he took a 2 minute minor, but I'm not sure what he did to earn it. But he gets the team a power play because, you know, Roussel, I think Jack said it, you know, during the broadcast, he says, you know, that's a hell of a trade. If Roussel can get McAvoy off the ice for 2 minutes, 4 minutes, you know, if it's an even strength, which is obviously what he's trying to do, it's a different story, but he's trying to get McAvoy off the ice when his team's down in the third period. And it's, you know, McAvoy was disciplined enough not to buy into it.
So, few things. March 12th, Saturday night at TD Garden, Arizona comes to town. Pencil that down or put that in pen if assuming Roussel's even in the lineup type of thing. All right, that's one thing. Two, I can stomach even if I would say a 4-2 if Roussel got one swipe at McAvoy, two at most. And you say, well, what did Charlie do? Charlie did swing. He got his stick going on him a bit, but right before the gloves came off for Roussel. So I could stomach a 4-2 with that. I cannot understand a 4-2 given the plethora of punches that he threw. How is that? I mean, that if you're using that as a benchmark, so to speak, and I know it's later in it's third period, but is the officiating right there? Come on. Like that's poor. In my eyes, Charlie shouldn't be the one to respond to him. It should be somebody else, and it should be a guy that is going to say, you know what? Yeah, I'm not giving Roussel a choice. Now, don't be surprised if Roussel's in the lineup, and if somebody says to him, we're going, and then he maybe doesn't go to try and draw a penalty next time. But hopefully after what transpired, he will.
All right. Let's get to the situation with Hall the other night as well, because he spoke on this yesterday. He has the hit on McKinnon, and the officials give him the penalty. They take a look at it. They knock the penalty down. We can get into the whole issue with the rules there. Doesn't make a whole lot of logical sense to me. But we saw on a few different occasions guys trying to make a statement, guys trying to respond for Colorado, and one of their best players gets knocked out of the game. You would expect that.
Yep.
Hall said yesterday, you know, maybe if I just go ahead and fight Landeskog at the beginning there, you know, I have an easier night, essentially. I don't have to deal with it the rest of the night. But he's under no obligation to me to do anything there. It wasn't a dirty hit. And look, I understand why Colorado's upset, but ultimately, you know, Taylor Hall doesn't have to drop the gloves if he didn't do anything wrong. And I don't believe he did anything wrong.
No, first of all, hoping Nate McKinnon's okay. Hearing facial fractures, concussion, huge significant impact, regardless that it was his own stick that did it. Like, you know, look, I've said this 100 times with you and other shows. We love the game of hockey because of the high velocity plays, their violent impacts at times. I mean, that was the old car accident right there, right? You've got impact, you know, speed coming together, two players, both, you know, one good size, and McKinnon's really pretty good size. You know what I mean? Now he's playing middle of the ice. And so legitimate area to be hit, head down a bit. Yes, it was a clean hit. You know, I always try and take the other side. When I say take the other side, think the other way too. Let's just say that was, you know, Pastrnak coming through the middle and he got hit like that. RJ, would you want somebody, would you want, if McKinnon was the one that hit him and did that, would we feel the same way? I get what you're saying. Does it make it easier on Hall? Yeah, it does. If he just takes, now Landeskog is a pretty good scrapper. So I, you know, you got to wonder in the back of his mind too, if Taylor's saying, you know, this guy's bigger than me, he's pretty good too. And do I want to take some and get through it? Or do I have, you know, do I want to avoid that scrap? Landeskog is, you know, and Gabriel, I mean, he doesn't fight the heavies, but he'll fight guys his or lower size. So you got to just be aware of that too. I kept saying, look, this has gotten Colorado off their game.
I was going to, it was the same thing I was thinking is, listen, if you've got Landeskog chasing around Taylor Hall, trying to get him to fight, or if you've got a D-man taking a penalty for cross-checking Hall five or six times, or as the official said, they had three cross-checks. If you've got those types of things happening in the game, you know, just like we were talking about Roussel trying to get McAvoy off the ice, I think you have inadvertently succeeded in distracting the Avalanche for a good chunk of that game.
Right. And truth, they got refocused after what they said after the second period in the room. Don't worry, guys. We'll take care of this next time we play the Bruins. Let's get back to playing Avs hockey. That's why I'm paraphrasing what I think was said in the locker room. And to their credit, third period, they were damn good. They're really good. And they did just that, RJ. Now, would I, you know, if Frederick, if a Foligno had been in the lineup, do I think one of them goes up to Landeskog and say, come on, you want your fight? Let's go. But they weren't there. And therefore, nobody else for the Bruins did. Now, we don't know if Landeskog would have said, I'm not going to fight you because you weren't the one to hit. You know, maybe he would have eventually, because it would have satiated their desire a little bit to deal with it. I look at this again as maybe a first period, thing to look for the next time Colorado comes to town, where Taylor Hall, somebody else goes up to him and says, let's get it over with. Even though I agree with you, it was a clean hit with a violent impact. It was. Should he have to answer to that? The logic says no, but the hockey guy in me says maybe. You know, maybe it gets it done and everybody moves on then from that. And so that's something to keep an eye on the next time these two teams play too.
All right. So,
and by the way, real quick, go ahead. The Eric Johnson triple check, we'll call it the triple cross check. You know, again, that, you know, we got a video that said these calls are going to be made, point of emphasis, it's going to be this way. And they always showed one forecheck, cross check of players doing that. Hey, notice this cross check. This is not going to be tolerated anymore. Why does it take to the third one? And again,
they didn't show that the first one where you can get away with, maybe the second one you can get away with, the third one we're going to call, right?
Right.
No, you're right. It was supposed to be a point of emphasis, and we've seen it be a point of emphasis at times during the course of the season.
This is not a Bruins rose or black and gold color glass thing either. So don't, it is not. If a Bruin player did it three times, I'd be like, holy smokes, three times? You got away with so much for the rule. And I think the official that made the call there, who's a veteran ref, but I think almost delegitimizes himself by saying for three cross checks.
Yeah.
You know, if it was one, if it was a little tap to the back of the leg, that's one thing, but not three heavy duty cross checks. And the best was when the player looks at him, Eric Johnson looks at him, who's 6'4", 220 pounds or so, and looks at him afterwards like, what did I do? What did I do? Are you kidding me? I'm getting called.
All right. Let me going back to the Hall situation. And then we saw something last night that goes hand in hand with it. Listen, you're my NHL guy, right? You're connected to the league. You know a lot more about, you know, officiating the game and things of that nature. Can you explain to me the logic why, or the logic behind allowing for officials to last night we see a 4-minute high stick that gets wiped out because they looked at the replay and they said, oh, it was Charlie McAvoy's stick. It wasn't it. So there's no penalty there. So they erase the penalty entirely. But in a situation like Taylor Hall, they look at a 5-minute major call and they realize that this is not an illegal hit, but we're not allowed to erase that 5 minutes. We have to give him 2 for interference, even though it's not interference by the book.
I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you on that. So, you know, I stink as your NHL guy right now.
Tells me what I need to know, which is that it doesn't make sense. If you're going to review
it's game management.
You have to put the game in the officials' hands and say, and if they say, hey, we screwed this one up, then allow them to fix it. Or else, why are you looking at it?
I agree. It is a flaw in the reasoning. I believe, this is my guess, when they implemented, you know, these reviewable offenses for majors, they correctly put the power, and you know where I stand on replay. I'm not a fan of it, but they correctly put the power of the replay in the hands of the officials by saying, all right, we know something big happened here, but we need to be 100% sure on it. And I think the fear, this is just my guess, when they said, well, wait a second, if we're going to allow these guys to go from 5-0, we might have a lot of, you know, hell happening out there, so to speak. So this
they're just going to call fives all day and,
right,
you know, and then go back and review
and go back to, right. And part of that, they want them to feel comfortable calling a major for significant impact, because all kidding aside, the game happens at such high velocity out there. It's a real easy game sitting at on the 9th floor, as I always like to say, on the 5th level where we are in Essence Suite, and having our replay. And super slow-mo is one of the greatest inventions for hockey, because you can see the letters of the puck, right? You can see the puck and you can read it. However, it's also one of the worst things to happen, because now everything is clear as day within a second to the broadcasters, to the fans, and yet to the officials, it's not. It's right. Still happening at Mach 5 speed. My guess is this, that they said, look, if we're going to be calling a major, you're saying, I know something happened. I don't think it was good, but I don't know if it was that bad. That's what it ends up being. And it's a long way of saying it allows there still to be some game management. And yet, I agree with you. They could have called nothing on Taylor Hall, but you've kind of got it. You bite the proverbial bullet and you say, okay, well, something happened bad to Nate MacKinnon. It doesn't mean that it was egregious by the Bruins, but there was maybe something there. And I don't love it, but that's all. I'm hoping that they change it. I am. Look, you know, again, where I feel about a fish review, but it's a right. The right place to review is, in my opinion, are these scenarios. Puck over the glass. If you're going to keep that rule in play, puck over the glass. High sticking, double minor, like they did last night. High sticking. Use it to make sure that it was the opponent's stick, not your teammate's stick. Puck crossing the goal line. Okay? I don't even know if I want it for goalie interference, but I, you know, that horse left the barn years ago. But puck over the line, for sure, use replay for that. To me, that's where you have to use it. And then I guess if you want to use it for the majors, that's fine. But let's all just admit, if it wasn't a major and it really wasn't a minor, then why are we calling a penalty?
Yeah, it just, you know, it's just when a guy throws a clean hit and they call 5 and then it's like, well, we have to give you 2. There's no real way to explain that away. All right, Billy Jaffe is with us here as we continue on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show. We are going to check in with Bob Beers out in Arizona coming up next. We are also going to give you, if you are joining us in the midst of this blizzard this morning, a little chance to win a prize. Caller number 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line right now at 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 gift card for Sports Etc., Boston's best hockey shop. Find them at 1303 Mass Ave in Arlington, online at sportsetc.net. So 617-931-0985. Caller 10 will pick up that gift card. We will continue with another hour coming up here on the Shaws and Star Market Hockey Show.
Shaws and Star. Star Market Hockey Show on Boston's home of the Bruins. 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.